What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
And on Sports Radio 92 on the game. 1 o'clock hour on the first football week of the Atlanta Falcons 25-26 season. Falcons and Lions, Friday night, Mercedes-Benz Stadium. All the coverage right here on your home of the Falcons. Of course, continuing coverage all week from training camp. I have a love-hate, Dom, with training camp. And I realize now my love outweighed my hate. Because one of the last years, because right before COVID, our boss at the time, Terry Fox, decided it would be a good idea that Hugh and I, instead of doing 6 to 10, would do 5 a.m. to 10. We'd do a five-hour show.
Okay.
That was not a fun show to do. We had to do it for about, I don't know, 7-8 months. Finally, Reggie Rouse, during COVID, came in and said, okay, you don't have to do 5 hours in the morning. So we think, oh, thank God. Go back to four. Because that's just a long show, 5 hours. It's a long show to do four by yourself, but, you know, five is, you could ask Dukes and Bell when they were doing five. That extra hour, that fifth hour.
Whew. I would say I've done a few of their shows when it was still 5 hours, and I remember that fifth hour is just kind of it's a drag. It weighs on you.
Yeah, you just run out of gas talking for that much.
And then doing that at 5 in the morning? Oh, God.
So that was what I hated about it, because you had to be there by, 4:30. And where I live in is believe it or not, it was like my house 1 mile closer to downtown Chattanooga than to Flowery Branch.
Yeah, so you're making a trek.
Yeah, so I had to leave the house at 3:30, and to get out there, and bust it on top of that with no traffic to get out there in time to do the 5 a.m. show. So that was the no fun part. 3 a.m. alarm was no fun for all of you who do the 3 a.m. alarm. I'm with you. I did it for a long time, and it was one of the best things when. I stopped doing the morning show, and I went in and I said, okay, I've got all this going on in my life, and Hugh's going to Philadelphia, and we kind of came up with, okay, we're going to redo the morning show. And I went, look, I did the mornings in Southern California for years. I worked mornings, obviously with Hugh for years and years and years. I was sort of done with it, especially at my age. I was like, okay, the getting up at 3 or 4 in the morning thing is really hard. It started to wear on me after about 20 years. And I said, and it's the TV people. By the way, the TV people that do it, God love the TV people, because it's one thing to do radio. Because when we were starting at 6 in the morning, it was about a 40-minute ride in from where I live to work. But if you prep the night before, you could kind of get into work about 5:40 and, just check, did anything really happen overnight that changes anything? So you could leave at 5. And if you you had your clothes out and did, you know, you could just 4:45, you could be out and get a coffee and, you know, so you get up 4:45. But if you're doing 5 a.m. television, oh no, that's a different animal, dude. You're doing a 5 a.m. television, you're up at 2. You're up at 2 a.m. because you got to get up, get showered, get there. You got to, first off, you got to get into makeup. Secondly, you got to start producing the show. Yeah.
So I was going to say, you got makeup, you got to make sure you look good. You know, the benefit of radio is that I can come in here. I'm in sweats. I'm chilling.
Right.
Nobody knows.
Nobody knows. Speedway Classic today, Braves and Reds, kind of the picking up from where they left off in the rain yesterday. Sort of figures that it would be a disaster of a day yesterday, kind of metaphorical for the Braves season in as a whole here. United lost last night again. They played 26 matches this year. They've won four. 1, 2, 3, 4 of 26 matches. Then you have, of course, first full week of Falcons here as they get ready for the first game of the year. And that's one of the big questions we have for you. Are you playing Michael Penix this Friday night? Or are you bubble wrapping him for the preseason? Now, he will play a number when these combined joint practices they're going to hold with the Tennessee Titans at Flowery Branch, which are open to the public, by the way, and they're the final two open to the public practices this year, are really interesting because they'll play 7-on-7, 11-on-11, and the starters will go in those. And those are the ones that, if you could go to any practice, go to the joint practices with the Titans. Now, just understand the crowds are going to be huge, but that's the one because you get a real taste and you'll see all the starters playing and doing those joint practices. They'll come out with the ones in those. And so that'll be good. But nonetheless, we'll have football at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. I don't know if Jalen Walker's going to play. He's got a hamstring right now, and they're being really cautious with him. My guess is they will not play him on Friday night. They're gonna slow walk this hamstring. Jalen says he wants to get back out on the practice field, and Raheem's saying, "Nah, I don't know about that. How about you just cool this for another week or 10 days, and let's just see what happens here?" Because they want to make sure that we're not going to be, you know, threatening that opening game against Tampa Bay for nothing now. He didn't have anything to prove. He's in shape. If the season started tomorrow and he was healthy, he could go. So it's like, all right, let's just slow your roll, Jalen. I know you're anxious to get out there. And you don't want any more injuries. And we're hoping Darnell Mooney's shoulder, you know, does kind of pick up here and heals up by the time we get to the Tampa game. Then you have DJ Chark. We just got to get him up to speed. And that's going to happen in practice. So that's some of the things that we have to kind of keep our eye on. A question for you, Dom.
Yes, sir.
It's about TV and the NFL. I'm going to read something to you and ask you a question. ESPN and the NFL, you may or may not know this, ESPN and the NFL have agreed to a deal potentially worth billions that will merge the NFL Network and Red Zone with ESPN. The deal comes after 4 years of negotiations that resulted in a complicated agreement that allows ESPN to access both the NFL Network and Red Zone. ESPN will also receive 7 more regular season NFL games, and the NFL's fantasy football business, too, is going to ESPN. It will coincide with ESPN's new direct-to-consumer service that will launch later this year. The league will likely treat the NFL Network like it treats the SEC Network. Do you need me to repeat that last line for you? I will. It will coincide with ESPN's new direct-to-consumer service that will launch later this year. The league will likely treat the NFL Network like it treats the SEC Network. Do you want to take a gander what that means, Dom?
You tell me, but I just already hate all of this.
Means you're going to pay for it. You're going to pay for it. You're going to pay extra, extra. Because, you know, you go out now, right, and you buy cable. Then, on top of buying cable, you buy, like, say, Apple TV or Prime. And I have both, but let's say you buy one. Then you get to, like, Prime, and then you pay for, you know, under Prime, you pay for, I don't know, say you pay for AMC or something like that, you know, under Prime. And then you got to get AMC Plus, which you have to pay for. And then you go to AMC Plus, and they say, oh, yeah, you still have to pay for other things under AMC Plus. Like a movie. It's like, wait, what? You know? Yeah, Paramount Plus, you buy cable, then you buy Apple TV, then you buy Paramount, then you buy Paramount Plus with Showtime, and then when you get there, they say, well, you got to pay more for a movie, $3.99. Well, what? And so I keep wondering, what this means is Red Zone and, because we've had two Red Zones over the last couple of years, right? We've had the Red Zone channel, which you used to get for free as part of your sports package, free is a relative term. And that went away unless you had Sunday Ticket. And then it became part of Sunday Ticket when YouTube got Sunday Ticket. So that went away. But the NFL Network still did a Red Zone channel of its own, which if you had the sports channel there. So there were two Red Zone networks, right? There was the Red Zone channel and then the NFL Network's version of the Red Zone channel. So there were two. And but you lost the Red Zone channel if you didn't have the NFL Sunday Ticket, and I didn't need Sunday Ticket because I could just watch Red Zone and Falcons. I didn't need Sunday Ticket. But now, if you don't have Sunday Ticket, you don't get Red Zone. But Red Zone is going to go to ESPN, which means you're going to have to still pay for Red Zone. And by the way, floating the NFL Network, which has its own Red Zone, into the package means the only Red Zone you'll be able to get is with the ESPN Plus package here that they're going to charge you for. Follow? Yep. That's the way it's going to work. You're going to pay more. At some point, I understand, look, it's a business. We all pay for stuff. We pay for streaming services. My cable bill and my streaming services are, $250 a month, Dom. I don't know what yours are. Mine's probably $250 a month.
Combined everything, probably.
Yeah, so I get it, but at some point, you know, as consumers, we just say, okay, that's enough. You know, it's enough.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm not going to pay for that. I'm not doing all that. Also, right. Also, because I know it's going to be a lesser product if ESPN has it.
So that's what happened with me with Atlanta United. Apple TV got a hold of this, you know, MLS, and they went to this MLS deal with Apple TV, with the Apple TV Plus to get the MLS thing, and I went, no, I'm out. And so I've been out. I don't watch very many Atlanta United games because I'm not buying the MLS package. Sorry, I'm not. I'm just not buying it because I don't give a rat's rear end about any other. I'm not spending that much money just to watch Atlanta United. So because I'm not watching another MLS game. I'm just not going to do it. So what would I care about the Colorado Rockies against LAFC? I don't. You know, I'm not watching the New England Revolution play, you know, Red Bulls. I'm not watching. I don't care. So I only care about Atlanta United. And this year, there's not much to care about Atlanta United, sadly. But, you know, that would be the only thing. So I'm not buying the Apple TV. You reach a point of saturation where people just say they're out. And I'm wondering here, when you talk about ESPN and the NFL agreeing to a deal worth billions, is going to merge the NFL Network, Red Zone, and ESPN together in this new pay service, whatever they're going to, this new direct-to-consumer service, which means pay, okay? Direct-to-consumer service. It doesn't mean anything more. That is a fancy-dancy way of saying you're going to pay for it, okay? Direct-to-consumer service. ESPN itself is already a direct-to-consumer. I pay for ESPN as it is. Do you know how much money you're paying ESPN right now? Anybody want to guess? You're paying, I don't know what the current rate is. I know what it was a few years ago. It was like $6 a person, $6. They had 100 million subscribers. I mean, they were making $600 million a month without selling a television ad, by the way. Oh, that's the other thing. You'll buy Apple TV, then you'll buy, you know, you get cable, then you get the streaming, you get the Apple TV, the Paramount Plus, then you get the Paramount Plus with Showtime, and then you still get ads. It's like, oh my God. But if you want to go ad-free, you can get the Premium Plus. Yeah, you still have to pay for some movies on Premium Plus, but at least you won't have ad. Oh, my God. So at some point, I think we're just going to reach critical mass with all of this, and people are going to go, I'm out. And I worry. I think the Apple TV deal may have brought the MLS quite a bit of money. I think it really did damage to the league. I really do. I think it did damage to Major League Soccer, to its growth. Because it appealed to its base core audience, which is fine, but its base core audience is not growing. There, you've got to appeal to people that are. It's in radio we call it P1, P2, P3. Okay, if you listen to 92.9 The Game and you listen to, you know, all the shows and you listen to, you know, mornings, middays, afternoons, you listen to some on the weekend to me and people like me, you're what we call a P1. Okay, you listen a lot. If you're a P2, then you may listen to a show that you really like, Dukes and Bell, for example, and you sample other shows occasionally. That's a P2. If you're a P3, you come in for maybe a Falcons game, and if there's a major story that breaks, then you would come over to us. Otherwise, you're listening to like music. Okay, that's a P3. You're only coming over when you're not necessarily a routine listener, right? So this is what happens with something like Apple TV with the MLS. They get the P1s, who are the hardcore fans. Those are the, you know, supporters group fans who are buying Apple TV, those kind of fans. But they're not getting the P2s and P3s. And so the P2s and P3s check out. They just check out. And we're out.
Yeah.
And that's what's happened to Major League. I said, you make P2s and P3s check out, and Dom, you got a problem. You're not growing your league.
Yeah, and that's the funny thing whenever I hear, like, and especially with the NBA kind of having some of the issues with, you know, viewership and all that, like, whenever a league, and specifically with the MLS, one that's trying to grow here in America and trying to really grow this market, whenever you're a league that's trying to bring more attention to your game and you're trying to grow and you're trying to reach new fans and you're trying to, you know, widen your fan base, the worst thing you can do is make your product less accessible.
Right.
So
that's what I think.
Putting it behind paywalls and putting it behind subscriptions is only going to further divide you from those fans that are possibly on the fence or may have a fleeting interest, but, you know, hey, if maybe I see a few matches on, you know, for free on TV, how we used to be able to, then you know, maybe I'll go from being a P2 or P3 to a P1. But everything is just money right now. You know, we have that kind of microwave society mindset where we need it now. We can't wait for anything.
Right. No, now it's like I guess I always envisioned that at some point the NFL was going to go to a version of a pay-per-view service, and I think we're headed that way fast. And the NFL is the one entity in sports that could probably get away with it because everybody would. If the NFL came out and said, look, here's the deal. You can't watch the NFL without paying additionally for it. You have to basically have Sunday ticket. You have to pay for an annual subscription to watch the NFL. You know that wouldn't shock me. You know, it hadn't happened yet because the networks are still paying so much in fees, but it wouldn't shock me if we ended up going that route. You know? So we'll see how this all kind of works out, but a lot of this stuff is going to go to direct-to-consumer service through ESPN, which means you're going to pay extra to watch it. All right, quick break. We had a chance to talk to our Falcons insider, Joe Patrick. Will Michael Penix play on Friday? Will Kirk Cousins play on Friday? How will they handle the preseason? Is fighting in camp a concern for the Falcons right now? And more, all those questions. And the first week of football for the Atlanta Falcons put to our Falcons insider. You'll hear that next on Sports Radio 90 Time the Game.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
When New Yorkers buy a place with StreetEasy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
I'm Josh Scherer.
And I'm Nicole Inaiti.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich
free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.
First day of football, first day of week for the Atlanta Falcons. They play this week, and for every week between now and February, we're going to have football, because here it comes, NFL preseason. We'll get a bunch of games on Thursday, and then the Falcons will play Friday against the Detroit Lions at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Who are we going to see? What's going to happen? Let's get the very latest from our Falcons insider, Joe Patrick, who joins us on the WadeFord.com hotline. Joe, what is shaking?
John, it's been a long opening week of training camp. It always is, kind of getting readjusted to everything, but it's been exciting. It's been fun, and so no complaints from me. I'm just interested to see how this team's going to be able to practice. I know you're not here locally, but like it's been rainy. It looks like there's rain in the forecast, so that would be interesting if they had to move indoors. I wouldn't hate it instead of having to sweat in the blazing sun, but it's fun that football's back, like you said.
All right, so it is the first football week of the year. At some point, you don't game plan for preseason like you do for the regular season, so there's no – but you do what you do, and some fans don't know this, is you do kind of start to begin the concept of now Friday being a Friday game. It won't necessarily be this way, but the routine of how every game week will go. In other words, this happens on Monday, this happens on Tuesday, this happens on Wednesday, and then you just sort of fall into, okay, this is the slot here, so everybody gets used to the tempo of a game week rather than just kind of random practices throughout the week. So that's one thing to keep your mind on. So this being the first football week of the year here, any indication on how they're going to handle this game against the Lions on Friday night? Do you think Michael Penix will play a series, or Kirk Cousins will play a series? What's going to happen with Jalen Walker and his hamstring? Are they just going to play this like straight safe and just backup kind of deal?
Yeah, I think they're going to play it extremely backup kind of deal, like you said, the latter there. I think Raheem Morris, the head coach, telegraphed that as much as he felt like he could when he was asked about it in like the opening, maybe on like the first day of training camp. He was asked about how he was going to approach these preseason games and basically said, that it hasn't really, the status hasn't changed, or the philosophy has not changed in his mind based on what it was last year. And last year we didn't really see hardly any of the starters. And to be honest, John, like we saw players go down with season-ending injuries during these games. And so for that reason, I think that he has something to fall back on in terms of his thinking behind this, as much as it frustrates fans and myself. I'll put myself in that boat, which is I want to see starters play. And I got to be honest, John, for no other reason than just purely selfish, I just want to see football. I want to see the best players out there. And just selfishly, I want to see starters for that reason. I think that one of the bigger questions is whether Kirk Cousins would play in some of these games as the backup quarterback. And typically, if you're not going to play your starters, then your backup plays. And I would say a couple things is as reason why I don't think Kirk is going to play much at all, if at all. And that's for a couple of reasons. One, if you even go back to last year, Michael Penix was the backup, and he even hardly played in these preseason games. I think, what did he have? In total, I think he had like one quarter and one series or something throughout the three preseason games. Maybe it was like three or four series total. So even he was not playing much last season. And then I would also add on top of that, yes, while Kirk is the backup, he's still a very prized possession for this Falcons team because of his trade value. And so for that reason, I think that they need to treat him like a starter, because all of a sudden, if something were to happen to him, all of that value goes kaput on the trade market, which is still, I think, an open consideration for the Falcons. They're not going to give him away, of course, because he still has value for the team, but I think they're going to treat him very carefully as well. And it's worth noting that they both these quarterbacks, I think, have looked pretty good so far in this training camp.
Yeah, you put Cousins out there, he blows out an Achilles or an ankle or a knee, and there goes $37 million out the window. I mean, yeah, no, you're not.
Right.
I don't think they're gonna risk that. I mean, at this point, the whole point of Kirk Cousins isn't to be the backup. The whole point of Kirk Cousins, Joe, is to be a trade.
John, can I? Yeah, exactly. I want to add something else, which is I see a reaction, and I got to say, I'm like, there are some Falcons fans out there, in my opinion, just from the way I'm reading some of their comments about Kirk, like there's some like, honestly, like vengefulness almost, like he needs to play because that's what backup quarterbacks do, and that kind of thing, and just because of the turmoil and the way that the quarterback situation kind of shook out last year. And I just think that's the wrong way to approach it. And the way to approach it is that, you know, any prized possession that the Falcons have at this point in time are most likely not going to be playing in this game. And one of the reasons why, especially at quarterback, is because if you're holding any of your starting offensive linemen out of this game for rest, which they very well could need, you know, if they're carrying some sort of knock, you obviously wouldn't want to be throwing them into that situation. Then it's really hard to put a quarterback in, and because if that backup lineman were to, you know, give up a free runner that takes a shot at your quarterback, that's going to look even worse for you as the head coach.
You know, the Carolina Panthers have made a statement, Joe, that they're going to play their starters in preseason.
Well, yeah. I mean, hey, again, good for that. Again, I kind of wish the Falcons would do the same. I could be totally, maybe we do get a series or two from the starters. I think it kind of depends. But, you know, I think that's probably like, you know, Dave Canales has a young team there. The head coach is the offensive play caller there. It's just a philosophy I think that different coaches have. And I think it's pretty clear at this point, Raheem Morris trusts, you know, a veteran football team, especially on offense, that he doesn't want to put him out there. But, you know, again, I'm at the front of the line saying that I hope they're wrong, and I hope we do see these guys.
All right, because, again, Joe knows this, and you are all aware of it. I haven't been able to. It kills me that I can't go to Flowery Branch and go to camp, so I rely on Joe to be my eyes and ears here. Joe, one of my storylines that I've been following here, that's coming out of Flowery Branch in everything I read, has been the feistiness of camp, whether it's JPJ or Rukororo or Felipe Franks at one point, that there's been some fisticuffs in camp. And I have to say, I'm actually liking reading that, because it says that these guys are, you know, they're spirited is a much better way than just to dog it through camp and just hope that the season starts okay. So I'm good with this.
Yeah, no, I think, you know, I think every Falcons fan was enjoying kind of hearing about this or seeing it. I think there were some clips that were going around of the skirmishes, as they've been kind of phrased. I actually, the one day of training I had in my schedule planned to miss. I just had a personal conflict, couldn't make it that day. And of course, it was one of the most exciting days with everything that was going down. But I think that the add to the point, on top of just the excitement of seeing kind of, you know, get chippy like that and whatnot, because I do worry about that kind of thing, like, you know, spilling over. Because, frankly, like, you know, I'm not trying to compare myself to a professional athlete or whatever, but on high school at least, and, you know, I was in the middle of something from time to time. I remember getting super pissed because someone grabbed my face mask, and then I grabbed, you know, the other guy's face mask, and, you know, like, you start just seeing red in that moment. So I can understand what the players are going through, but I think that the great part about it was that after we talked in practice, I talked to Matthew Bergeron, who was at the center of this, whose helmet did get ripped off. I can't remember if it was James Pierce Jr. or Leonard Floyd. I think it was James Pierce Jr. Who took his helmet off. You know, Matthew Bergeron was saying that, like, he's great. He loved that kind of thing. There was no bad blood. You know, there was no ill will afterwards. The team was able to just, you know, continue practice after the whole skirmish kind of blew up a little bit. And while it did kind of disallow them from doing some of their developmental work at the end of practice, I think they were still able to get a lot of the work in that they wanted to do. And clearly there's not bad by it from, you know, other players in that locker room. So I think it's all good at this point in time.
We're talking to Joe Patrick. He's our Falcons insider with John Fricke on Sports Radio 90 on the game. You put any stock in the Falcons sticking their nose into the Dallas Cowboys situation around Micah Parsons?
I put absolutely no stock into it. like, I understand, you know, anytime there's a big free agent that is on the market, or, you know, a player becomes available via trade publicly, you know, for obvious reasons, every NFL team wants to, you know, wants to be in the mix to acquire that player. I don't think it makes sense for the Falcons for a lot of reasons. It's not saying Micah Parsons isn't a great player. He's obviously, like, the best at what he does in the NFL, and unique in what he does in the NFL. But a couple reasons. One, you know, the Falcons have already kind of put plans in place as to address this particular issue with the team at the edge rushing position, doubling down on that in this draft. And in doing so, they gave away, you know, they traded next year's first round pick to take it this year. So you don't really have the ammunition in terms of the capital to go out and get that player. You know, there was obviously some of these trade rumors that were floating around, but I guarantee you, just by virtue of the fact that the Falcons don't have that first round pick next year, there's pretty much every other team in the NFL, I think, can make the better offer to the Cowboys, and ultimately it's the Cowboys' decision on what offer they want to take. I found it funny, like, you know, one of these rumors that was going around was, like, trading away all these players that are currently on the Falcons roster who are going to be free agents next year. Like, why would the Cowboys want to take on Kyle Pitts and Tyler Allgeier, players who they're just going to have to go sign against the NFL market in free agency anyway? So it doesn't really make a lot of sense to me, and I don't think the Falcons are best positioned to even win that auction, basically, if there were to be one for Micah Parsons.
So the Falcons work out, Joe. They work out C.J. Henderson. Was a time a few years back. He was a top 10 pick in the NFL draft, a corner out of Florida. Didn't work out in Jacksonville. Played for a couple of years in Carolina. My question isn't whether or not they liked C.J. Henderson or where he kind of fits if they decide to sign him. My question is, they're working out a guy here that they think that has the potential to be impactful in the secondary. Does that give you a question at cornerback as to whether or not they're comfortable at that position with who they have now?
I tend to not think it's so much that. I tend to think, John, that when you see signings at this point in time, first of all, they should very rarely kind of be considered game changers, because there's a reason why these guys are still available in the training camp oftentimes. Yeah. I'm not saying you're saying that either. But I think that the other thing is that when you're looking at a preseason game coming up on Friday, that's what I look at it more as, is like the team needs guys to go out there and play. And I think it also signals that they probably don't want to play some of their starters. So they want to bring some guys in potentially. And just to make up the numbers so that you can get through some of these games. He is an interesting player. It's kind of funny that he was actually drafted higher than AJ Terrell, and is kind of, you know, obviously Terrell has gone a totally different trajectory in his career. And I think that, you know, the Falcons do like to take these shots on guys who are, you know, formerly, you know, had notoriety or you know, had this kind of prestige about them. Like Mike Hughes is an example of a guy who obviously was more of a commodity. The Falcons signed him on a legitimate deal in free agency, you know, 2 years ago. But again, he was another guy who was a former first round pick who they felt like had upside, and they wanted to kind of see if there was upside there. And I think that, you know, Hughes has rewarded them for that. So I think the Falcons are always going to be interested in these kinds of players who at one point showed a lot of promise and for whatever reason has gotten off track. But ultimately this one, I wouldn't expect him to make the roster basically at the end of cuts.
Joe Patrick joining us. It is interesting to me that you have all these rankings that come out, Joe. You know, they'll rank the best players at every position, or they'll rank they do the NFL top 100 or whatnot. And the players all look at these, but when they come out with the Madden ratings, oh, the players look at those because they play themselves. And so it becomes a hot thing if all of a sudden a player goes, what, you know, I'm rated what? So has there been any reaction here? The Falcons had four players rated at 90 or above. I don't play Madden. I assume that anything over 90 is pretty good. They had four players that were rated over 90. AJ Terrell was just under 80. They have seven just under 90. They had seven that were over 80. The four over 90 were Jesse Bates at 95, Chris Lindstrom at 94, Bijan at 92, and Drake at 91. Have you heard any reaction from any of the players who were talking about the fact that they felt that they were underrated on Madden?
Yeah, you know what's funny is I bet you like the four players who are rated the highest on the Falcons are probably the least likely to actually play Madden. And I can't help but laugh and thinking that there's some correlation there, that the better you are as a football player, you're probably less prone to like spending your time playing video games. Yeah, I did actually ask Drake London about it, and he basically confirmed this to me, at least from his perspective. He's like, I don't play Madden. And he kind of just said it bluntly, but he did say, but I appreciate their rating. I think he was the number 8 wide receiver in the NFL based on his Madden rating at a 91 overall. And I think that he's got an argument to make to be over. I think like Terry McLaurin was rated a point higher. I would take Drake London personally between the two of them. But, Chris Lindstrom, Jesse Bates, I mean, these are like the most like disciplined, hardworking, players. And not to say that playing Madden is like conducive to not being a good football player, but these are guys who are just either they're studying their book, they're spending lots of extra time, just doing everything they can to prepare their mind and body to be ready to play football. And if they're not doing that, they're probably spending time with their families or whatever it is, kind of disconnecting from the sport itself completely. And that's probably good for their mental health as well. So it's just kind of funny how that works out. But I think that, generally, I think the Falcons are getting a little bit more respect in the Madden ratings these days.
All right, so I
should add, while we're talking about video games, Ryan Neuzel apparently is like the best at video games at Madden and college football on the team.
And he was the lowest rated Falcon. He was at 65.
Is he really?
So, yeah. How about that? I got just about a minute. Since you are also our de facto correspondent for the Ohio State University, who's going to win the quarterback job? Julian Sayin or Lincoln Kleinholz?
It should be Julian Sayin. I feel pretty confident in saying that. Big prospect. He was committed to Alabama, and then he transferred over, and it's just crazy how these quarterbacks kind of transfer all over the place. I've never really seen Kleinholz as a legitimate like future starter for the Ohio State, so I'm hoping Julian Sayin wins the job. I expect him to win the job, and we'll see how it goes. But, Ryan Day, I was just looking, basically ever since Ryan Day has taken over as the head coach at Ohio State, Ohio State quarterbacks have played really well and produced really well. So I have confidence that he can kind of fit into a system.
Not Kleinholz. Kleinholz.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. I gotcha. Ohio State University. Yeah, okay.
I was worried you were going to ask me about Lane United there as like being a correspondent. I was worried.
No, I'm not going to talk about a team that's won 4 games and 26 starts.
They're not going to be bowl eligible.
To be top draft pick eligible, maybe.
Right, exactly. Lord.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by Street Easy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
I'm Josh Scherer.
And I'm Nicole Inaiti.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich
free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.
right. Sports Radio 90.9 The Game, Sunday, first day of Falcons football week. Falcons and Lions on Friday. Braves are going to try and get that game in at Speedway at Bristol today against the Reds. Dom, there is a, I know my brother went and was complaining the whole time about how awful it was here. There's a thread here that I was reading through on DX here from a guy named Lester Tate. And this is what he says. This is by yesterday. Major League fail. The Bristol game was the MLB version of Firefest. By the way, if you've never watched the Fire documentary on Netflix,
it's a good one. Yeah.
It's a good one. Bristol game was the MLB version of Firefest. Awful logistics. No food except for bunless hot dogs. And he's got pictures, by the way. And it's just two hot dogs, no buns. Cheeseless nachos. He's got pictures of that. Basically a bag of chips. Multiple shuttles to even get to the stadium, completely unprepared for the rain. And then somebody says to him in a question, he says, how much was the food? And Lester Tate says, full price, even without buns or cheese. So they give you nachos, which is just, you know, chips and cheese to begin with. They don't put any cheese on it, and they charge you whatever they charge you for, you know, 25 chips. And another guy, Jeff Carpenter, says, we bought tickets, couldn't get parking for under $350. Figured that we'd find an Uber or shuttle from the hotel, but nope, police closed parking lots, trapping the shuttles for hours and no Uber available. I want a refund. This was poorly managed from the start. Lester Tate says the same story here. It says, then chicken's still kicking, weighs in. It says, then hours after delay, knowing the crappy forecast, knowing both teams had Sunday off, if they canceled the game, they should have done that earlier. And somebody else was making a remark about how on this thread that don't they put on a NASCAR race with 150,000 fans? Don't they know how to do this? I mean, pretty efficiently. The answer is yes, but I think, Dom, you know that my daughter works at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, right?
Mm-hmm.
My daughter, Danny. I've been told, and she's brought me up to speed, sometimes when there's a special event at a facility like Mercedes-Benz Stadium, or in this case at Bristol Motor Speedway, the people like Major League Baseball will come in, and they will take over the racetrack, okay? And I mean, when they say take over the racetrack, they're not just taking over to build the field. They're taking over all aspects of the event.
Yeah, like they got their people working it and stuff like that.
Instead of the track people who know how to run an event at the track. So the track people who know how to run an event at the track are not there because Major League Baseball is going to put its people in place who don't know how to run an event at the track. It's the arrogance of some people. And my daughter, if she's listening, is probably shaking her head, yep. Because they don't know how to run an event at the facility. So my guess is, and I'm just guessing here, just reading this one thread here, that Major League Baseball came in and they did not know what they were doing. Because the track people would have been 85,000. That's simple. We'll do that here. Go, 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 go. We do this all the time. They're used to being able to do it. But no, Major League Baseball's got to bring their people in who don't know where anything is, run out of cheese, run out of hot dog buns, charge full price on top of that with nobody to make the call of that. Don't know how, you know, can't prepare for a crowd of 85,000 when the place holds 150,000. Don't know how to handle parking. Don't know how to handle shuttles. Don't know how to handle anything. So it turns into an utter disaster, which is a shame for the people that went. Because, you know, Major League Baseball wants to put on these events. Look, if you're going to put on an event at a facility where you're not, you know, it's a place that you don't normally go, use the people that work there, Dom. You know, yeah, it would be like, you know, a national radio show wants to come into our studios, okay? And they're going to bring their own producer and their own tech person, and they just come in and you go, okay, it's yours. They're not going to know how to work the board. It may be different from their board. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. No, like, you can't just assume that the way that you do things is the way that it's done everywhere else, or that will work everywhere else.
So the guy who is, he could be the best board op in the world. He's going to come in and go, I don't know how this is set up. I don't know what the sliders are for. I don't know what I punch. I don't know where things are. You know, somebody calls for something. I don't know where it is. Instead of using the people that already work there who know where everything is, like you would go, oh, yeah, it's right here. Boom. You know, I mean, it makes you shake your head sometimes. But it's, again, a metaphor. So this season has become, with that thing, this is the bunless hot dog, cheeseless nachos of a Braves season. We'll call it the bunless hot dog season.
Cheeseless nachos is funny because it's just chips, just tortilla chips.
Chips. The cheeseless nacho season. Yeah, remember the Braves cheeseless nacho season? Wait, how is it nachos if it doesn't have cheese? Well, that's kind of the point. I said it was a metaphor. I just tweeted it. I was like, it's a metaphor for this season. I said it was a metaphor. Oh, it really turned out to be a metaphor for this season. Turned out to be everything we thought this season was.
Quickly the tides have turned. We went from having pearl necklaces to not being able to have cheese on our nachos. It's just a really bad drop off.
Well, if there's no cheese on it, you can't call them nachos, right?
I mean, they charged them full price, so
it's not nachos.
They're calling them nachos.
At the very least, nachos have to have cheese and jalapenos. I think that's like the bare minimum.
Just chips, cheese. I'll give you chips and cheese. If you just have chips and cheese, we can call it nachos.
I'm not even sure you could do that. I think it's got to have jalapenos, but that's just me. You know, I mean, real nachos have all sorts of stuff on them.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, beef and beans and onions and peppers and all kinds of good stuff.
The good
salsa,
stuff.
Some avocado, you know. Except the guacamole, a little sour cream, but the guacamole that comes out of a can or other things.
No. Got to be fresh made.
It's god-awful. It's just terrible.
Oh, speaking of guacamole. Are you one of those people who cilantro is, like, weird for you?
No. No, I love it. No, I don't have the soap.
Good. Yeah, okay, because I was going to say, I know there's, like, a portion of people who, like, they have a genetic predisposition or whatever where like cilantro tastes like bar soap to them, and like that's so unfortunate.
And I don't know why I have that. I don't. I do kind of understand it. I'm glad it doesn't for me because I like cilantro. But I understand the certain portion of me. And I sometimes wonder if those people don't understand that when you get cilantro at a store, okay. I take the bunch of cilantro, you go home, you wash it under water for like 5 minutes, people. Stick it in a bowl, let it sit in a bowl of water for 10 minutes, then you wash it under the sink. You have to wash all of the sand out of it, okay? And so you have to wash, and then you cut it, and then you wash it again and again. You have to wash cilantro a lot, all right? And people don't.
People don't wash their fruits and vegetables in general. You know, that's just anytime you're getting something from the grocery store, like fruits, vegetables, bring it on, just wash it off, just to be
sure. Right, who knows who touched it?
Exactly.
You know, I mean, it's like, who knows who touched that? Anyway, yeah, so there you go. Braves season in, wrapped up. I guess it's a perfect way for the Braves season to end. I know it's not over. And if you're a hardcore A-lister and you're going to be watching, God love you. Let me know what happens, because I have officially moved on. Today is the first day of the first Falcons football week of the year. It's football season in my world. Just letting you know. Call me if something happens, okay? And then we'll talk about it. Otherwise, I got to say, for the first time in 51 years, I've checked out. Sad but true. Another Metallica reference. All right, my thanks to you, Dom, and to Noel. And stand by, because Caleb's at the top of the hour here as we roll through this very first Sunday, the first football week of the year for the Falcons, right here on your home of the Falcons, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
I'm Josh Eyre.
And I'm Nicole Inaiti.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich
free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.